Was to Psalm chapter 137. Psalm chapter 137. For those of you visiting, make sure you come back Wednesday night. I am not the pastor. Brother Nicholas is our pastor. He's on vacation, so you missed him this morning and tonight, but he will be back on Wednesday night. If you would pray for my wife and I and Rachel, our daughter and two grandkids, we'll be going to Kansas. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning to go to Kansas first. My wife's dad is really sick. We were going to try to go home sometime this summer so the grandkids could see Grandma and Grandpa again anyway. Or the great-grandkids, but in this case, when we found out he was so bad in health, we was going to go to Missouri first and then swing by Kansas on the way back. But the last few days, her dad's taking a turn for the worse, so we're going to swing by Kansas first and then swing by Missouri. If you ever want to go and see what the New Jerusalem will be like, all you got to do is just get on, if you just take 35 north and then head on I-44, go into Missouri. And once you get there, just behold, stop. You need to do the right thing, stop at the sign, get down the ground, kiss the ground. Tell God, thank you for allowing me to enter this holy place and drive on into Missouri and enjoy the new that's kind of what the New Jerusalem is supposed to look like when we get up here, up to heaven. If you don't believe me, you can ask the Mormons. They have bought several towns in Missouri because they really believe the New Jerusalem is going to be in certain parts of Missouri. So I'm not the only one that believes that. Now, there's not very many things about the Mormons that I like, but I do agree with that thought that Missouri is like the New Jerusalem. Psalms 137 in your Bible. Psalms 137. I was thinking when I was, the thought tonight is that the devil wants to take your joy. And as I was thinking things that make me happy now. Now, as you get older, things make you happy that didn't used to make you happy. I was more Brother and Mrs. Sanders' yard, and you know what I thought? I thought, thank God for power-driven lawnmowers. That's what I thought. That was the thought that went through my head. I was out there riding and out there mowing, and I thought, man, this is nice. You know, you just push the handle, and then you have to run to keep up with it because it goes pretty fast. But I thought, that is, now you say, well, is it that much difference? Yeah, let the handle off and see how much difference it is. There is a big difference between when it's pulling you and you're pushing it. So again, I thought, man, thank God for power-driven lawnmowers. Then on that thinking, I thought, you know what? Thank God for nice, comfortable beds. I mean, nowadays, back when, you know, when I was a kid, you just slept on a mattress. I mean, there wasn't anything special about them. It was just a mattress. But nowadays, they got these pillow tops and fluffy duffies, and I don't know what all you call them, but they're nice. I mean, you can crawl in bed. You can spend all day in there. And then again, when I thought about the comfortable beds and the nice mattresses, someone called me this week and they said, are you having a bed bug problem in Texas? And I said, no, not that I know of. And they said, in our church, some of our bus youngsters came in with bed bugs and they spread it around the church. And so a lot of the church members now had bed bugs. So if you just feel a little itchy tonight, I mean, hopefully it's not the person sitting next to you that has it. I told him, I said, you know what, you can come visit sometime, but not anytime soon. That's what I told him. You can come see us sometime, but not anytime soon. Make sure you take care of that first. Apparently, you have to get rid of them. It's really difficult. You have to get this machine that heats your house up to 100 and something degrees and it has to stay that way for 2-3 days. So I have some kind of machine that you stick in there and close the room and burn that room up. And then you go to the next room, and I guess you kill them room to room or house to house or something. But they have to take care of that. Then I thought, you know what, as you get older, you appreciate your health. If you still have good health, you appreciate your health. Now, when you're a kid, you don't think anything about it because you're healthy most of the time. But as you get older, health is nice. Then grandkids are good. And then you know what? As I got older, I don't even eat much ice cream. But I just thank God when you go to the ice cream place, because I'm lactose intolerant, so when I do it, I want to make sure I'm going to do it for the flavor that's worth my while. But when I was a kid, there was chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. And sometimes it was all in one box. It was Neapolitan, and they would have all three. And since I don't like chocolate and I didn't like strawberry, I'd have to be very careful because the vanilla was attached to those, and so you'd have to try to get it because you only had that half gallon had that much of chocolate and that much of strawberry and that much of vanilla. How many of you remember that? You young kids probably never even seen that. I don't know if they even sell the ice cream in the boxes anymore, but it used to be a half a gallon that way. But man, there's so many flavors of ice cream. When you go in there, and now it's like, they say, what do you want? And it's like, I don't know, man. There's butter pecan, and there's chocolate chip cookie dough, and I like chocolate chip cookie dough. I'd rather have the chocolate chip cookie dough than eat the cookies, because when I'm making cookies, the chocolate chip cookie dough tastes a lot better before it's cooked. I mean, it tastes pretty good after it's cooked, but it's pretty good. And so I thought, man, thank God for all the flavors of ice cream. Then the other day, I took my daughters to get shaved ice. Some of you have had shaved ice. Those old snow cones, I mean, you took a little bit and then you spit out the ice because there's so little juice in there till the very end. Then at the end, but them shaved ice, man, that is good. I don't know if they have it anywhere else, but they got it here in Texas, so that's good. Then I appreciated seedless watermelons. Now, when I was a kid, I just wanted watermelons. But you know what's so nice when you don't have to mess with the seeds? You just sit there and you can eat that watermelon. You don't have to worry about the seeds. Now, some of you kids just swallow the seeds, so you don't care anyway. I was always afraid to do that because my grandpa told me I'd grow a watermelon in my tummy if I did that, and it terrified me forever, so I never swallowed the seeds. But then you know what? I am so thankful for walk-in closets. You young folks, I mean, your closet's big. Back when we used to have closets, you walked in our closet, and it was a door. You opened it up, and there it was. That was your closet. I mean, that was all there is. Nowadays, I mean, we have closets as big as bedrooms. I mean, and they are nice. Now, the wife usually takes about 3/4 of that, sometimes about 7/8 of that. But thank God, usually us husbands still have as big a spot as there used to be the whole closet. So I thought, man, as I got older, I appreciate some crazy stuff. And I appreciated dual cab trucks. Back in my day, we had a truck, and it had one front seat, and the whole family rode in the truck. Now, that meant there was dad driving, and then there was kid with a kid on his lap, and then mom. Now, you always had two problems going on. Either someone was complaining because someone has a bony butt, or someone's complaining because someone's got bone. I mean, someone's not sitting still. They keep rolling. So, I mean, there was a lot of fighting because all six of us, now it's against the law, thank goodness, but back then it was not against the law. So we'd all six of us ride in the cab of the truck. Nowadays, I mean, you can put six in a car or a truck because they have the dual cabs. But I thought, man, it's nice to have dual cabs. Besides, if you don't have kids, you can just put a bunch of junk behind the seat. I mean, the whole back, I mean, you can carry, I mean, you know, half the house can be in the back seat. Then I appreciated cruise control. Because, man, I appreciate Brother Murphy talking about driving with his knee, and I can do that too. Sometimes I'll say, look, Mom, no hands. And she'll say, that's not funny. And I'll say, yes, it is really funny. But then I appreciate remote control. In the past, it was Dad would say, go change the channel. Well, won't you make him go change? Because we had to go turn the knob on every channel. Now, and I like, what do you call the one where you can go back? I mean, because I'll watch like three shows at a time. So, I mean, I'll push one, and then when that one goes, because I hate commercials. I mean, I think they ought to outlaw commercials on TV. And so I like to, when the commercial comes on that channel, I go to the recall, where it is, and watch the other channel, and then go back to that one. And I even sometimes will just record it. And I mean, I'll watch something else while it's recording, so that when I finally sit down and watch it, I can watch a half-hour TV instead of hour TV with 30-minute commercials. So I appreciate remote control, because I used to be the remote control. It was Chris, go change. I mean, and again, we only had about five channels. I mean, and that time, sometimes it depended. The closer you got, your body heat or static or something made the channel better. So sometimes Dad would get up to Dad and say, just stay right there. And I'd say, that's not funny, Dad. But for some reason, those boys made the TV come in clearer. And then we had those antennas, and sometimes it was just a clothes hanger with aluminum foil stuck on it. And again, you know, I had a pretty simple life. But then I thought, thank God for large print Bibles. Brother Murphy the other day didn't bring his Bible to the Thursday night thing, so I let him use my Bible, and he said, wow, Block, I can actually read your Bible. Now, I don't just have large print. I have what they call super giant, extremely large, multi-size. I mean, I have my Bible so big that some of you can read my Bible from out there. Now, the thing is, it is a lot heavier. I mean, it takes a lot more pages to write all that, but I thought, man, sometimes I'll give the bus kids a Bible, and I'll open it up, and I'll think, good Lord, I mean, how do they read that thing? When you get older, your eyes, that brings me to thank goodness for glasses with bifocals and progressive lenses. Now, sometimes when you see us looking like this, we're not looking at you, we're just trying to get you. That's why sometimes when I sing a special, sometimes here the distance is weird, so you have to get the right spot so the words are not blurry. But progressive lenses come in really handy. And then I thought, you know what, thank the Lord for jobs where you can use your mind instead of your muscles, because when you get old, your muscles are down here instead of up there. And I thought, that's nice that you can get paid for, you know, for thinking or for bossing people around. So that's nice, too. Then I just thank God for Sean. And then I thank God for paved roads. I do. I thank God for Sean. Thank God for paved roads. Then I thank God when I was making my sermons, I thought, you know, it's nice to have a computer with a Bible concordance. Because some of you have seen our Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Preachers used to have to pull that thing out, lay it there, and then when we wanted a word, there was like 6,942 of them, so we'd have to take a card and we'd have to go down till we found the one, and there it was. Now with the computer, if you type in like two or three words, it only gives you. Now if you type in the, it's going to give you, you know, 25 pages. So, but I don't usually look up the in the dictionary in the concordance. But when I'm looking up a verse, I mean, in a few minutes, I mean, it's right there, and then I can print it and then go back and get some more and print it, as long as you know. Now, every once in a while, like when I was looking at stuff, sometimes they'll use thee or thy instead of the word, I think. So sometimes I type in and go, I know there's a verse that says that. And doesn't. And then sometimes I actually have to turn the Bible to find the verse and then bring it up. But a computer with a concordance on it. Then I'm thankful for Brother Perry's jokes. I'm thankful for multi-lane highways. Some of you don't know what it's like, how frustrating. You guys think you get road rage with multi-lane highways? You ought to have to drive back in the day where there was two lanes, and you got stuck behind the one that was sightseeing. I mean, and again, there's no way to get around them for like 30 miles. So you just sit back and you contemplate all the things. And if you was God, all the places in hell that you would have them suffer for driving so slowly while they was in front of you. I'm thankful for a world without zombies. Just joking. Seems like all the shows nowadays are zombies. And then I got thinking, well, maybe it's not, because you do see these kids doing this. So, I mean, I guess it's about as close to zombies as we're going to get. I'm thankful for Krispy Kreme donuts. How many of you like Krispy Kreme donuts? The other day, someone told me, Jacob said, we went out to do something. He said, they got Krispy Kreme donuts, glazed donuts, for $2.88 a dozen. I thought, whoo-hoo, that's a deal. I drove by, I was going to get some, and the parking lot was completely full. The store next to it was completely full, and I thought, I like them, but I don't like them that bad, because I love Krispy Kreme donuts, but the thing I hate is standing in line. So the standing in line overpowered the Krispy Kreme donuts, so I didn't get any. I appreciate sweet tea, and I mean sweet tea. I mean sweet tea. My wife drinks that unsweet tea. McDonald's will give us our two teas, and they won't mark on it, so I drink hers, and I go, oh, good Lord, girl, how do you put up with that stuff? I don't know how you can drink unsweet tea. Now, I like sweet tea. I mean, sometimes it will give me a sweet tea, and I'll even put some more sweet in the tea. So, I mean, I like my sweet tea. I like fresh fruit, and I'm thankful for Sean. All right, Psalm chapter 137. Sean is my helper. He's my good friend, so I had to bring him in tonight. One time one of the kids said, can you use me in your sermon tonight? And I said, my wife usually asks me just the opposite. You know, can you not use me in your sermon tonight? But I told the kid that day, I said, I don't have anything to, I mean, sometimes I bring snakes or stuff in here, you know, flamethrowers, I mean, which is a pair burner and other things, but I don't have any extra props tonight, so you just have to put up with me and my belly. So that's all we have. Psalm chapter 137, notice verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then verse 4 says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, the children of Israel were typically a happy people, but they're unhappy now. And the reason they're unhappy is it's like saying they're in jail. They're in bondage. They're now slaves. They're being taken from their homeland. They're being taken to another place where they're going to be slaves. And they said, you know what? We don't much feel like singing. Now, I want to get across to you tonight the simple truth. The devil is like that. He would like to take away your joy. He likes miserable Christians. He does. And by the way, some people have the tendency to be, they seem to be happy being miserable. But I can tell you that God does not want you to be miserable. And I'm not one of those folks, and you don't hear that at Liberty Baptist Church. We don't stand up and tell you all this, you know, feel-good type of religion. But again, if you read your Bible, you'll find, and again, I'll give you some verses about, there's a lot in the Bible about your attitude. And about how your attitude can affect you, and it also affects others as well. And that's what we're going to look at tonight for just a couple moments. The devil wants to take or steal your joy. Father, bless this evening as we look at the Word of God for just a couple minutes. Look at some truths that might be a help and a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, David said in Psalm chapter 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So again, the first thing I want to say is this, there's joy in salvation. Now, like anything, now when you first got saved, I've seen people who said, man, I'm happy. Now, regardless, if after you got saved, you felt nothing, and by the way, you should have, but even if you felt nothing, salvation is not based on a feeling. So don't think, because I've had people got saved, they prayed the prayer, they got saved, and they said, I don't feel anything. I said, you don't have to. I said, now, if you just realize, I mean, you got saved, you're going to miss hell and go to heaven, you can get pretty happy. But you don't have to feel anything. Salvation is not based on the feeling. It's not like all of a sudden you get saved and you're like, woo, woo, and you get that tingle, and then it goes down one leg. I mean, that's not, salvation doesn't happen like that. The truth is, there is joy in salvation, and you ought to be glad you're saved. Amen. Fact is, he says, David said, you know, I miss that joy that comes from, I mean, the feeling, the good feeling I had. Now, the reason he was sad was because he had sinned, and by the way, sin brings some sadness in our lives, because it creates a barrier between us and God. Our fellowship is broken. Because our fellowship is broken, it's kind of, I mean, think about it. As parents, we experience this. As grandparents, we experience this. As husbands and wives, we experience this. As kids, we experience this. Someone that we like or someone that we're talking with, now they're not talking to us. And they're not listening to us. They're ignoring us because they're mad at us. They're unhappy with us. That's what happens when we sin. It causes a division between us and God. And so David said, God, I want you, you got to bring me back to that feeling I had, that joy that I had. I want to be singing again. I want to be happy again because of the fact I want to be so thankful that I'm saved. So again, there's joy of salvation. There's also joy in salvation. Now the joy of salvation, I mentioned that this morning. When a person gets saved, there's a rejoicing, the Bible says, in heaven. Then it mentions, that was in Luke chapter 15, that there's even rejoicing in the presence of the angels, which means God gets excited, or Christ gets excited when people get saved. Now the reason for that is this. He realizes that that his death on the cross was worthwhile to one more. When those two little kids got saved this morning, now if you've ever had to work hard or do something, and then you see the fruits of your labor, it makes the sweating and the work. For instance, sometimes you might do that. Youth conference was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. Our kids put in a lot of work. Our adults put in a lot of work the few days we had. But listen to me, to have the people say thank you, to have the folks say, man, this is great, to have the folks, brag on our kids, it made the work worthwhile. It made the sweat and the tears worthwhile. It made all the practices worthwhile. It made all the struggle. It made all the time in the kitchen or all the time at the stove worthwhile because someone said thank you and someone appreciated what you did. So again, there's joy in salvation. When we think of joy in salvation, go to Psalm chapter 51, and that's where David spoke. Psalm chapter 51. If you don't have it underlined in your Bible, you ought to underline it. Because David said this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now notice what he says, restore to me. Now he had the joy, but he lost it. Now, many times what happens is sin happens, but sometimes also it isn't sin, but sometimes it's just the fact that the newness wears off. We tend to forget about it. For instance, if we ask tonight who has a blessing, after someone gets talking, we start thinking, when someone breaks up, now first everybody's kind of quiet, no one raises a hand, then someone raises up a hand, and then they'll say, I'm thankful for this, and then someone goes, oh yeah, man. So the truth is, what happens with our salvation is, when we get saved, we get all excited, because we realize, I'm no longer going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm going to be, now, but after we've been saved for a while, because we can't forget about that, because we're involved in life struggles. We're involved in work, we're involved in raising the kids, we're involved in taking care of the sickness in that family, or paying the bills. So sometimes we kind of forget, which is why sometimes we have to sit down and remind ourselves of how good we have it, how good God is to us, and we have to realize, you know what, I am not going to hell anymore. I am saved. Now, there are a lot of folks that have never heard the gospel message. There are a lot of countries where the gospel is not. Now, in America, you almost have to ignore the preaching because it's around quite. The truth is, you drive down almost any street, you drive down Marbach Road, you know what you're going to see? Lots of churches. And this is not even the Bible. This is the South, but I lived in a little town, outside of a town of 1,000, we had 13 churches in the city limits of the little town I lived in. 13. That's not counting the ones outside the city limit. I lived in an area in Missouri called the Bible Belt. There was a church on every corner. The truth is, and many of them, there were several different types of Baptist churches. But the fact is, you have to remind yourself sometimes of how great it is that you are saved or that I am saved. Get excited. You're not going to hell anymore. I said the devil wants to steal your joy. Not only does he want to steal the joy of your salvation, not only does he want to steal the joy that you have in salvation, there's also strength in joy. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. There's strength in joy. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, the devil knows there's strength in joy, so if he can keep you from having your joy, then he can make you weak. And by the way, he likes it when there's weak Christians. He likes it when you're not doing so well. Notice Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, understand the devil realizes that. So if you get thinking about what you don't have and how bad you got it instead of how good you've got it, what happens is that weakens you. You become weaker. You know the world makes a lot of money? They make a lot of money on depression. Sad thoughts. I am down. You go to the doctor, tell the doctor you're down, you know what he's going to give you? He's going to give you a pill to help you feel better. And in the United States, we give out, you go to a psychiatrist's office, by the way, you go there. First off, years ago when I had to visit a psychiatrist's office for a while, not me, but made the call, you know what? We couldn't, to try to make an appointment, we couldn't find an appointment anywhere, hardly at all. All of them were full. And then, when we found the one, there was days of waiting. Then you go in the office, and listen, they're giving out Ritalin. The kids are too hyper. They're giving them Ritalin because they don't believe in spanking kids anymore, so they're giving them Ritalin instead of making them obey. You say, Brother Block, was you one of those hyper kids? Yes, I was. How'd your mom and dad treat that? With medicine. It was called a paddle. I mean, my mom and dad they believed in a paddle, and they used it on my butt pretty regularly. You say, Brother Block, did you get spanked a lot? Yes, and by the way, not near as much as I deserved. I mean, those times I actually got by a few times. I remember one time I told my mama something I didn't. She said, you did not. I said, yes, I did. She said, you did not. I said, Mom, trust me. Yes, I did. She didn't believe that I did that. So I said, you know, that's when I got by with. I mean, you didn't catch me on that one. Now, usually my mom caught me with, and she used to mention that I said, how'd you find out? And she would say, a little bird told me. And I always thought, where's this stinking little bird at anyway? I mean, I don't know who it was. Usually it was my brothers, because my brothers, they enjoyed tattling on me, because they knew I was going to get in trouble. But by the way, that worked both ways. So when they got in trouble, guess what I could do? I could tattle on them. But sometimes we use that, we blackmailed each other. By the way, brothers and sisters still use that today. You say, how do you know that? Because I've asked the school kids, and some of them say they still do. If you don't tell mom and dad about this, I won't tell mom and dad about this. Now, if you ever get something really good, I mean, you can even make them do your chores. Some of you kids didn't know that. I mean, blackmail is it's worth labor or money. I've known kids that had to give their allowance to their brother or sister because their brother or sister blackmailed them took their money. That's why it's always good to behave yourself, and then you can be in the blackmail business and not the one being blackmailed. It's a lot better to receive in that case than to give. But the fact is, there's strength and joy. Nehemiah verse 10 says in chapter 8, said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Proverbs chapter 18, flip over there. One of the ways that the Lord's our strength, or the joy is our strength, is displayed in this verse. Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his... Now, he has an infirmity. What it means is infirmity has to do with the sickness. He has something that's causing him some pain or some problems. But what happens is, again, if he's up enough, if he's happy enough, if he's joyful enough, if he's excited enough, he doesn't let him. Have you ever seen someone that was limping? My bull was limping. He came up limping the other day. And I thought, oh, good Lord, what do you do? I mowed the Sanders yard, so I bagged all that grass. Now, my cows, every time I come in the gate, they all come running because they're wondering, what did I bring them? And they're like kids, you know, when you get in the house, where'd you get us, Mom? I mean, my cows are like that. I don't have kids anymore. They're all grown up. But my cows are like that now. And so, because sometimes I have a guy that sells watermelons. When his watermelons go bad, I'll take home one of those great big boxes of watermelons, and I take them out and feed them to my cows. My cows love those watermelons. And so I came in the other day with the gate, and they weren't up, so I poured the grass out because I bagged the grass, and with that power driving lawnmower, by the way, but I bagged that grass, and I fed it to the cows, so the cows hadn't came up. And then one of the cows found it, and when she saw it, the other one was like, ooh, what do you got? And so he was limping at first. Then he got a little bit closer, and he started, have you ever seen anyone run while they limp? That's what he was doing. He was running and limping at the same time, which means it was like, ow, 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 ow. But and I've seen kids do that. They're hurt, but whatever they're going after, whatever they're going for, it's worth it. They'll put up with the hurt. What it means is they're now thinking about the hurt. I've had kids sometimes say, Brother Block, my finger hurts. I walk up, punch them in the stomach, and they'll go, why'd you do that? I said, finger don't hurt anymore, does it? See, I mean, it's all up here. It is. It's all up here. Or you can stomp on their foot. I mean, and that does the same thing. You want to make sure it's not someone who's going to punch you back, because then you're going to be the one that's hurting. But the truth is, what he tells us there, that the person's spirit, their attitude will overpower the problem that they have. Now, you'll have problems in life. Because that's, my dad used to always say that. Something come up and I'd go, whatever, and then he'd go, that's life. That's my dad's answer to a lot of stuff. That's life. And by the way, that is, I mean, as I grew up a little bit, I realized that is life. A car broke down. Did you expect your car never to break down your whole life? I mean, the refrigerator went out. What was it supposed to run for, 50 years? I mean, it's only 27 years old. How long did you expect it to run? I mean, my air conditioner broke, and that is a bad thing, especially in the summer heat. You know, it's always nice if air conditioners break in the winter, but they usually break in the summertime. And when inside it's hotter than it is outside, that's not good. Some of you have been there. I know you know what that's like. I have too. I mean, there was one time it was 94 degrees in our house, and there was only like 80-something outside, and I said, babe, we'd be here to sit outside. It's hotter in here because the air conditioner broke. And during that time of year, it's hard to get an air conditioner, man. Sometimes I'll be over there as soon as I can, and it's a day or two later. Then you hope you have screens on your windows, and you realize all the screens are gone because something's ate them or messed with them, so you can't even open any windows. But the fact is, A person who has that strength that's mentioned there, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I mean, it will get you past it. They'll get you over it because of the fact that you're drawing strength from that right attitude. Also, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 gives us something else about how there's strength and joy. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I mentioned Brother Perry in the things I'm thankful for. You know why? Because Brother Perry is always telling jokes. Sometimes he even tells a good joke. I'm just joking. Especially the older I've got, the more I appreciate your jokes, Brother Perry. When I was younger, sometimes he'd tell a joke and I didn't get it. You know, it's like, I'd look at, kind of like the folks from Beautiful Gate the other day. How many of you was here Friday night? Friday night, Brother Murphy was picking on the folks in the front row. Now, he didn't realize they was from Beautiful Gate. Guess what Beautiful Gate is? A Spanish church. Brother Murphy was over there and he'd say something like, what? You didn't get that? And he'd go and do something else and he'd go back and they'd all still real solemn-faced. And then the guy came up to him after church and said, Brother Murphy, do you realize most of those kids had no idea what you're saying? Then it made him feel a little bit better because he thought, man, I must not be funny at all. I can't even get any laugh out of these girls because he tried like three or four jokes and not one, they didn't smile at any of them. But the fact is, I mean, it's good for you. It says it's there. It's good like a medicine. So you know what? Next time, instead of taking your diazepam or your Valium, might do you some good to get a joke book. We'll call Brother Perry and say, hey, Brother Perry, any good jokes lately? And I can tell you, he's always heard some good jokes. I don't know, does a day ever go by he don't hear a good joke? I think he watches jokes on either TV or radio. He must have a joke channel because he's always, and by the way, sometimes I'm thinking, wow, so then I have to try to remember it because my mind's so short. I have to go and tell someone real quick. Problem is, he's usually got to them first because he gets around fast. I mean, he may look like he's got some gray, but he is speedy when he wants to. I'll go and say, hey, and then, yeah, Brother Perry already told me. I'll go to someone else, hey, yeah, Brother Perry already told me. I mean, I'm thinking, well, I can't even tell this. Now, good news is he doesn't usually get to my wife first, so I'll go and say, babe, and she'll laugh, and I'll think, yeah, thank you, Brother Perry. But the fact is, he says, laughter's good like a medicine. That's just some good. By the way, what that means is, I mean, you're not feeling sorry for yourself. You're not looking at what you don't have. I mean, you're happy, and that's a good thing. And speaking about joy and happiness, joy is contagious. Go to Luke chapter 15. I said the devil wants to take your joy. Joy is contagious, so it's one of those things that you can spread. Now, there are a lot of sicknesses you get. I mentioned the bed bugs a minute ago. How many of you ever had lice? You don't want to own up to it? I will. Now, I've never actually had lice, but my kids have had lice. Now, lice is apparently not as hard as bed bugs to get rid of, but lice, I mean, we got lice one time. And then you feel like a mama monkey, you know, because all the kids sit there and you're going through their hair and you're picking out that stuff. I mean, you see that stuff on TV when you're, I don't eat them, but I mean, you know, but you get that little bitty fine comb and you comb it out and you take the eggs and knock them off and you shampoo, you have to do the bedding and the pillows and the carpet and the kid three or four times. But the truth is, there are some things that's pretty contagious. What it means is, I mean, if you're around somebody, it's going to get off on you. Pink eyes like that. If you have a dog or cat, ringworms like that. One time one of our kids said, Dad, what is this? It really itches. And I go, oh, you can tell it because it's, you know why they call it a ringworm? Because it's in a ring, okay? That's why they call it a ringworm. And it really, really itches. And by the way, sometimes the kids and the cat will pass it back and forth between themselves. You cure the kid and don't cure the cat, then the cat's going to give it back to the kid. And by the way, if you cure the cat and you didn't cure the kid can give it back to the cat. So sometimes they pass it back and forth. Or the dog, whatever the case might be. That's why I have cows. Cows do not get ringworms. And so much, much safer. But the fact is, joy is contagious. Notice Luke chapter 15 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 15. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors. He said, come on, guys, come here. Saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now in this case, he was rejoicing over a lost sheep. Also in that story, you find they rejoice over a lost coin. What he's saying is when they find it, it's such a big deal. They throw a party. And you know what a party? Usually a party is a happy time. There's folks are feeling good. Unless you have a really bad party and then it's a sad. But the fact is, usually, I mean, what they said is they want folks that come over and enjoy themselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them, weep. So again, typically when someone else is rejoicing, you know what makes you want to do? Rejoice too. Typically when Brother Perry tells me a joke, if I've heard any good ones lately, I tell him a joke. Now, the bad thing when you get senile like I've got in the last few years, I can't remember jokes. Now, we have some kids in the school that tell jokes, but they laugh at the joke so many times during the joke that it kind of ruins the joke because they're laughing at themselves telling the joke. So I'm thinking, Miss Christina, we're going to pick on you in the middle of the service. Tell us some of those pickup lines that you told us the other day. These are really, really good, okay? I was going to use them in youth conference, but I decided I didn't want to give the kids any pickup lines. But tell us some of those pickup lines, Miss Bass. These are really funny. All right. That's a good one. All right.
Hey, I was reading in the book of Numbers this morning, and I just realized I don't have yours. But it's also, how do you learn the Holy Spirit coursing through you?
Trying to be spiritual in that one.
Is your name?
So Miss Bay, she would come to now every once in a while I'd hear a good joke, and again, if I have a good joke and I laugh, I want the staff, so sometimes I'll go in and I'll say, I need to see all the staff for a minute. And they all come in with a real serious face, and then I'll say, hey, this is a good joke, and I'll tell them a joke. And Miss Reese rolls her eyes, you know, like that motherly thing that she does. Like, really, you called us out of school. The kids are in there by themselves. Who knows what they're doing? And we don't know what, well, actually, we do because we have video cameras, so I mean, you know, we can watch them. It's like, when we get back in, slap Henry because Henry's messing around. But the truth is, she'll roll her eyes at me. But if I laugh, I want her to laugh. I want them to laugh too. And if I hear a good joke, I want them to hear it. But the fact is, the devil wants to take your joy. He wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you unhappy. He wants you to feel bad. He wants you to feel down. Now, I said all that, and this last point will sum it all up, and this is the most important thing. Joy opens doors. Now, when I say that, I want you to listen to me closely. I won't spend but a couple minutes on this. I'm almost done. But joy opens doors. Go in your Bible to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to see where joy not literally, when I say joy opens doors, it opens some doors mentally and spiritually. Opens doors for witnessing, but it also truly opens some real doors in Acts chapter 16. Notice Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now notice the phrase, the prisoners heard them. So by the way, when you are full of joy, when you are thankful for all that God's done for you, when you realize I am saved and man, life is good, God's good to me, better than I deserve. When you have that attitude and you display that attitude, guess what? Others see it because they was in jail. And by the way, others in jail saw that. Went far deeper than that. Notice verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. I said that joy opens doors. It does. They were singing and rejoicing. Guess what? God caused an earthquake. And guess what happened? The doors opened. Now this is, if you notice, it mentions that there's an earthquake, but it's not just an earthquake. Now an earthquake's bad, usually. In this case, the earthquake was good. Now, again, most people, we call it a natural what? Disaster. This was not a natural disaster. This was a good thing. But it was weird. Not only did the prison shake and the doors went open, but the chains fell off. Now, that is not normal in an earthquake, that your chains fall off. But again, you say and this was a great earthquake. It mentions, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So not only did the prisoners hear in verse 25, but guess who else heard them rejoicing and praising the Lord? God did. And he thought, you know what? You got to spend enough time in jail. Now they hadn't actually seen the judge yet, and but they got their, what do you call it? They got their sentence, you know. I don't know what the next word is, but they got it where they didn't have to serve anymore. I mean, because God said, time's up. Come on out, guys. Opened the doors, took off their bands. Now you'd think that all the prisoners would have escaped, but notice the next verse 27. Not only did the prisoners hear, and did God hear. But the fact that they were praising the Lord and rejoicing in prison and talking about God, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself. Notice the next phrase, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Because normally when the doors open, trust me, the prisoners flee. If you're a prisoner and the doors open, it's not like, hey, you guys want to go? Nah, I think I'll just hang around here for a while. I mean, they're gone. But that shows you what power Paul and Silas's praying, Paul and Silas's singing, Paul and Silas's attitude. Now they were counting themselves lucky that they were privileged enough to suffer a little pain for the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't look like now. Most of us, if we got thrown in jail for witnessing, we'd be in there griping and complaining, trying to do the good thing, and look what happened to me. I'm in jail. I mean the other guys, the people out there witnessing, I mean they don't witness, they don't ever go to jail. I mean, we'd be griping and complaining. But Paul and Silas wasn't. By the way, they were happy out of jail, they were happy in jail. Truth is, one time when they said, Peter, you got to stop doing this. I mean, we're going to throw you in jail. He said, you know what, whether you throw me in jail or not, I can't quit doing this. I got to do this. By the way, one of us as Christians, we're supposed to do this. We're not supposed to let anything stop us from witnessing and giving out the gospel. But in this case, they were singing, praising the Lord, thanking God for his goodness. God heard, opened the doors, the prisoners heard. Because when the Bible says he sprang in and when he saw the doors open, he was going to kill himself. He was going to do that because that was going to be a lot less painful than what he was going to face in a few moments. Because when the magistrate found out that prisoners escaped, and that's usually what happens when the doors open, when they found out the prisoner escaped, they would have held him accountable and they would have killed him, but probably not near as quickly. He was going to fall on his own sword and kill himself. And I mean, he was going to do that because he didn't want to have to face the pain of maybe being whipped or publicly humiliated, I mean, and all the rest of it. So the truth is, he was going to kill himself. And the prisoner said, hey, no need to do that. We're still all here. I mean, Paul's teaching us the second verse of that song he was singing a minute ago. I mean, you know, we have. Now again, think about it. Not only did the preacher stay, but the prisoner stayed. And again, most people in prison were not in prison for what Paul and Silas were in prison for. There was guys in there for robbery and murder and sedition. I mean, all kinds of bad stuff. But what happened was, they heard Paul and Silas talk about how great their God was, and they realized, wow, I need that in my life. I mean, my life's a mess. I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I mean, I live from day to day. I mean, wow. And then they probably said, how do you get that stuff? And they said, easy. I mean, and Paul told them how to get saved, and they got saved. I mean, there was a revival in the jail that night. Folks got saved because of the fact that Paul and Silas had joy. They had a good attitude. Now, many of you face the same thing I have. If you're out in public and you're whistling or singing or humming, someone will make this statement. Man, you seem pretty happy today. What do you? And then sometimes they don't realize what they're opening themselves up for. They'll say, what are you so happy about? And then it says, I'm glad you asked. And then get to give them a track. Now, by the way, because that is what I'm happy about. I'm happy because I'm saved. I'm happy. God is far better to me than I deserve. Man. We didn't look at Psalm 136. We started in Psalm 137. But if you're reading Psalm 136, you know what almost every verse ends with? His mercy endureth forever. Man. You know what? God is so good to me. I deserve a lot less than what he does. I mean, the Bible teaches how he gives us our needs, but he also many times gives us our wants as well. God is good. Amen. God is not just our Heavenly Father. He is our loving Heavenly Father. And he's good to us. But again, when you witness, if you walk up and you're all sad in the face, you got that, you know, that whatever that hound dog used to be, I mean, had that long face, and you walk up to the door and you say, I just wanted to know if you wanted to read about Jesus and get saved today. You probably don't want to, do you? But I mean, if you do, you can read this. I mean, nobody's going to want what you have. Fact is, that'd be like if I walk up to you and start coughing around you. You're going to get away because you don't want what I have. You don't know if it's contagious or not. But we want what we have to be contagious. But by the way, in order for it to be good, we have to be rejoicing and praising the Lord for how good he is to us, far better than we deserve. I mean, he is good to us. I mean, the number of times we sin every day, now again, some of you say, Brother Block, I haven't sinned in 20 years. You're a miracle, honestly. Also, you're a liar, but you're a miracle if it really was true. I'm lucky if I can ever say I haven't sinned in 20 minutes. And sometimes it's much less time than that. But the fact is, God is far better to us than we deserve. Notice in Luke chapter 10, and I'll be through. Luke chapter 10, I said, the devil wants to steal your joy. He wants you to be unhappy. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be always complaining. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. He wants you to be down. I mean, looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. Looking inward instead of outward. Looking at yourself instead of at others. But notice Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Now, they was all excited because they just cast out some demons. Now, I don't know about you. The other day, we had someone come to the church, and I don't like to deal with this. It's one of those times that I want to go, hey, Kurt, can you do something for me? And Kurt's always going, yeah, Brother Block, what do you need? I wanted to turn that guy over to him because that guy said he felt like he was cursed. He came to the church. He said, I feel like I'm cursed. He said, I went to this, you know, I went to have my cards read and then have the stuff done. He says, and he said, that guy messed me up. He put a curse on me. He says, and I see spirits. He says, it's in my house. He said, can you come pray for our house? Can you come cast the demons out? I mean, can you cast the spirits out? He says, I mean, my wife sees them and I see them. He said, what does that stuff do for you? It scares me. I'm not, unlike the disciples, I haven't cast out a bunch of demons. So, I mean, casting out demons would be a big deal. Now, we have, I mean, again, there are really demon-possessed people today. I think a few of them come to Liberty Baptist Church. I have a couple in my youth group. But the truth is, just joking. But the truth is, they was all excited because they cast out some demons. Like, woohoo, did you see that? I mean, that guy, and I mean, they was all excited about it. But here's what he said. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you. But here's what he said. But rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. He said, you know what you better get? Don't get excited that you have this power. I mean, there's power and you cast out those demons. Be excited because you got Jesus in your heart. Now, what he says is your names are written in heaven. We talk about the Lamb's Book of Life. So he said, you want to get excited about something? Don't get excited because you have power over demons. And by the way, that is a big deal. Not very many people have power over demons. But by the way, to my knowledge, almost everyone in this room does have their name written in heaven. So the truth is, I mean, what he says is that's what I want you to get all excited about. I want you to get all excited about the fact that you are saved. The fact that you're not going to hell anymore. The fact that I've forgiven you for your sins, and the fact that I'm there to give you the strength you need through your most difficult times, and the fact that I never leave you nor forsake you, and the fact that I care for you, that I'm closer than a brother. I mean, he said, I want you to get excited about that. Now, again, no matter who you are today, you say, Brother Block, I have some health issues. Especially as we get older, sometimes we do. Now, used to Brother Block took ibuprofen and then I took some vitamins. Now I take ibuprofen, and I take the high blood pressure pill, and I take the acid reflux. And by the way, most of those come from the fact that I have a baby, and it just won't come. I mean, the baby just stays here, and 9 months has passed, and it's still there. And so, I mean, truth is, when you get a little heavier, and you get a little fatter, and then you get the diabetes, and you get the high blood pressure, and then you know your feet ache because you know you're pregnant forever. I mean, and so your feet ache and your back ache. So some of you women, you should feel sorry for some of us men, because you went through it for 9 months and then the baby came. We've had this for years. And yes, our back hurts. And yes, would we like to have our feet massaged? Yes. Could you? Because you wanted that stuff when you was pregnant. So it'd be nice if you return the favor now that we are in the parent pregnant stage, but we just can't get rid of the baby. But the truth is, he says, I want you to get excited because you're a child of God. Now, again, you might have health issues, but the fact is, God's good. He'll get you through that. You might have financial issues, but by the way, you say, Brother Block, you know what the Bible is? It is a book of answers. That's what the Bible is. It's a book of answers. Now, I don't have all the answers, but the book has all the answers. I don't. Someone asked me a question today, and I said, I'll have to ask. I have someone that's a lot smarter than me that's around here. You know what his name's called? Dwayne Nichols. Brother Nichols is really smart, so when someone asks me a question I don't know, I seem smart because I go to him and I get the answer, and then I go back to them and give them the answer, and they go, oh, Brother Block, you're so smart. And I go, yeah, I am, because I was smart enough to go ask Brother Nichols. So, yes, that does make me smart because I have some wise counselors. Makes you seem pretty smart when you have some wise counselors. But the truth is, he says, you know what? You are saved. Don't rejoice that you have power over demons. Rejoice the fact that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the way, as we get older and our body's falling apart, and the warranty no longer is when you're younger, it's like the car. I mean, you go and get things fixed. When you get older, they just look at you and just shake their head and go, not much I can do for you, buddy. I mean, and so as we get older, by the way, what we ought to think about is, you know, it won't be long. I'll be in heaven. And by the way, I won't have any more pain. Now, I'm not one. I've told you many, many times, if someone ever tells you Brother Block committed suicide, you check into it, because there was a very, very sneaky murderer that tried to make it look like that, because Brother Block loves to live, and Brother Block's never going to kill himself. Now, there's some people I've wanted to kill, but I've never wanted to kill myself. So the truth is, I'm never going to commit suicide because I like to live. And by the way, I want to live every day God allows me to live, and I want to live it to the fullest every day God allows me to live. But as I've got older, and by the way, especially as your loved ones, a lot of your friends and loved ones are gone, and you're getting older, and you can't do it. I mean, from here on up, everything works. From here on down, nothing works. I mean, it is a little tougher. But the fact is, we still have much to rejoice about. And what he says is, you know what? Forget about all this stuff. Just thank God you are saved. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brings me to the final thing, and I'm done. If you're here tonight and you don't have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can remedy that. Say, do you have the answer? Oh, yeah. We call it the Romans Road. There's also the John Road. But most of our folks use the Romans Road. We can show you how the Word of God, what God says you got to do to get to heaven. We're not going to give you the Baptist way, the Methodist way, or something. We're going to give you the Bible way of how to go to heaven. By the way, you can become a Baptist and still die and go to hell. Being a Baptist isn't going to get you saved. You can get baptized in that baptistry. It's not going to get you saved. What matters is if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if it's not, you can remedy that tonight and get saved. If you're here tonight and you've been letting the devil get the best of you and you've been down, I mean, now listen to me, no one wants to hang around someone who's always griping and complaining and feeling sorry for themselves. Because, by the way, it's contagious. I mean, it is one of those things that, I mean, if you ever hang around someone who's really sad, I mean, sometimes they're crying, guess what you want to do?